No? What the hell is that?
I like that better. I'm sorry. I like it better. I like
I'm
it better.
I'm all right with that. I'm so okay with that.
I'm
okay, okay. Here we go. Boys and girls, welcome into another episode of the Pucknologist Show 28 here on Fieldtown USA. I am your host, as always, AJ underscore Strong on the Twitter machine. And with me, as always, is the one and only Rocket Backhander.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Please keep your hands and feet inside the vehicle at all times. And don't unlock your safety belt until the operator says it is safe to do so.
And Mr. Hockey Jerk.
I'm doing my full impersonation of Puck Guy by having really crappy internet because I'm out of the Jerk Studio for today's show.
And as always, please subscribe whatever podcast platform you listen to us on. We do this for free. This is for fans, by fans. So help us out. Give us a subscribe. Give us a like. Give us a follow on Twitter at Pucknologist. So we missed you last week for technical reasons, which we won't go into right now, but let's just say that the Sharks have started off the season after five games with a record of 2-3, good for 4 points, currently standing in sixth in their division. The Dogs, of course, still winless, the division looking nothing like anybody predicted so far. But over those five games, the Sharks lost their home opener 5-3 to the Flyers, lost again following that up versus the Kings, picked up a win versus the Buffalo Sabres, took a loss from the Islanders, but picked up a win versus Montreal. So we'll start, of course, with the Flyers game first. Sharks scored twice on the power play. However, LeBanc goes to the box three times. The Flyers scored each time. And Wayne Simmons, I like Simmons, Wayne Simmons gets a hat trick, and Couture gets pylon'd. A hockey jerk. Your hat trick of pessimism for the Flyers game.
My hat trick of pessimism. Okay, so number one, Kevin Bank took too many penalties. I don't recall the last time a player took three penalties in a game and the team scored on all three of those penalties. Number two, the Sharks, I won't say they looked good, but there were stretches where the Flyers looked so bad that the Sharks could have potentially beat them. And so the fact that they didn't capitalize on that is a little concerning. And, you know, the Sharks are notorious for starting the inaugural game of the season with a win. So they broke up a streak of, I believe, 9 seasons of winning the first game. So, yeah, history is not taking a very fun turn for this one.
And now Rocket, to give you a hat trick that will put you in a good mood about this one.
Oh, this is a tough one to give you a hattie for. So they might just be like, you know, those little miniature hats you put on toads. It might be three of those. Okay, so just hang in there. So number one, my first original optimistic thought was, well, hey, you know, this isn't really a home opener because it's not against LA. And it's fine. It's just one game. And the Flyers, they have speed and they have a lot of grit and they don't let you get away with anything, and so we're still good. What else? Hey, the Joes aren't broken. Yay! And thirdly, Timo Meier didn't get 10 minutes in a game suspension.
Oh man. And we move on to the Kings game where the Sharks again get a 4-1 loss. Meyer, Tierney, and Donskoy don't get rewarded with ice time despite being the best line for this game. Sharks penalty kill goes 3-for-3 while the power play goes 1-for-3. So, me likey the Sesha team so far. Rocket, what did you enjoy from the Kings game?
This game felt like the true beginning of the season. Unfortunately, it did not have the outcome which I wanted. Optimism. Drew Doughty is going to expire. I mean, if you walk by him real close and you smell him, He's about to turn. Yeah, his upsides is nearly running out. And if they keep running him the way they're running him in LA, he's going to be in a retirement home before he's 40. So I'm really optimistic about that. Hurdle left this game with both of his knees intact. That always makes me happy. And let's see, other optimistic things about this game. It ended and we moved on. That's oh, wow. This is a crummy game.
And Couture got out of it with all of his teeth intact. Hockey Jerk, your take.
Martin Jones, as we all know, former King. If I were him, I would have liked to look good against my former team. And that is not the case. He let in all four of the goals the LA Kings scored. But on the bright side, Mr. Arundel came in and let in four less goals than Martin Jones let in, which, if you're a mathematician, that's zero. So he's off to a good start. Penalty kill looked good. I mean, 3-for-3 is always nice. You want your penalty kill to be bang on, and I thought they were. Power play, I mean, 1-for-3 is not ideal, but again, it's better than 0-for-3. So like you said, AJ, I think special teams are starting off strong, and I would think the hope is that it continues to start that strong. I mean, you don't have to be 100% every night, but at least scratch the surface.
I always enjoy when my surface gets scratched. I don't know why.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, come on. I'm still coming down from after dark. So the Sharks versus the Sabres. Sharks get a 3-2 win. Hockey Jerk, tell them why.
They got the 3-2 win because they learned their lesson from the game against the Kings. They came out strong early. They had a good power play. I believe that's the game where LeBanc got his third goal. Somebody correct me on that?
I believe so.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, LeBanc was already a question mark off the top, whether he would even make the Sharks. And here he is by this game. You know, he's got two power play goals, which is two more power play goals than a lot of players had at all last season. So the play of LeBanc early on is obviously very encouraging. I mean, it's Buffalo, so there's always that fear that, you know, the curse is going to come back. But I think with that win we had in San Jose against them last year, I think the curse has maybe not been broken, but been delayed a little bit. And I think the Sharks are going to start taking advantage of Buffalo going forward.
Rocket, your take.
My take, I was unfortunately unable to see this game because I was at work. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, Rocket Backhander is gainfully employed here in Nashville, finally. But I did see the highlights, and Jerk is right. Buffalo is Buffalo, so there's always that danger. And wasn't the curse actually that the Sharks had a tough time beating Buffalo in the Sabres barn, though, wasn't it?
I believe that's how it started, but like the last couple seasons, I remember like two seasons in a row where the Sharks had a lead on the Buffalo Sabres and then blew it.
Yeah.
So the curse sort of just encompassed the entire, you know, rivalry, if you will, as a whole.
It's like a big stinky fart.
And I'd have to look this up, unless one of you guys know it off the top of your head. Was the Buffalo barn, was that like the last barn that the Sharks in their history finally to get a win on the road?
I don't know off the top of my head, because I believe their arena is relatively new. But even if they had won in Buffalo way before the streak of losses had started, it was so long ago that clearly neither of us can remember.
Yeah, I remember Randy Hahn mentioning that at one point when the Sharks had finally beaten some team in their own barn, and that it was like this was the last team that the Sharks had just in their history had never beaten on the road. So might have been Buffalo. Hey, at Pucknologist, hit us on Twitter if you know the answer. Maybe you win something.
I love prizes.
I like winning.
That's right. So we shall move on to the Sharks versus the Islanders. The Islanders come in and throw a 3-1 loss around the neck of the Sharks, even though Kevin LeBanc opens the scoring on a power play goal. And this is one of those weird ones, kids. The Sharks largely controlled play, winning just about every stat you could except the score. Sharks PK goes 3-for-3 while the power play goes perfect 1-for-1. again, the game, this one just confused me because the Sharks really controlled it and looked like everything was going their way, but just could not put it past former Sharks goaltender Tomáš Greiss. I like saying Tomáš for every name for Thomas now. Rocket, what do you like for the Islanders?
I found out a lot about the Islanders mascot, which is kind of weird because why anybody would want to have a dual duty mascot for both a baseball team and a hockey team is kind of a little, what, could you not afford another mascot? Was it just one guy? I don't understand. Okay, so this game, you're right. I saw a lot of improvement in movement, in energy, in motivation and confidence, for Team Teal, but for some reason, just they weren't there when the chances were. That's okay. It happens. And it was a step in the right direction for the team. And again, like there was more focus on keeping the momentum high. But it was still kind of crummy to watch them lose, especially after that.
Jerkman, your thoughts.
Well, as much as I would have liked to see the Sharks beat the Islanders for a number of reasons, we've seen it before where the Sharks look good and control, I would say, 80% of the game. And then there's those stretches where things just fall apart. And for this game, it turned out that the times things fell apart were the times that the Islanders were scoring their goals, which obviously isn't good for anybody. On the bright side of that, I really very much enjoyed seeing Angry Pavs break his stick on the crossbar because that was some kind of passion scene since the infamous no-goal call in Nashville from 2 years ago. And if memory serves correctly, after that no-goal call, I believe Pavelski came back in the next game and scored two power play goals. So hopefully a sign for good things to come.
So we move on to the Sharks versus the Canadiens. The Sharks pull a 5-2 victory out of this one. Couture having himself quite the night, getting two goals, two assists. Sharks go 5 for 6 on the PK, 2 for 7 on the power play. Yes, kids, way too many penalties on this game on both sides. Joe Thornton gets his first point of the season on an empty net, of course, because that's so Joe. But in this one, at least the big names are starting to produce. We saw points from Pavelski, Hertl, Burns getting his first point of the season. So, Rocket, there was an awful lot to like.
There was. I'm gonna say this first and foremost. There was there I have to really say, I had mentioned a couple of nights ago that I thought Pete needed to give Timo Meier more trust. And this game against the Canadiens proved I was right. And I was really glad that he didn't make me look bad, Timo Meier, because there was a point where he was getting cross-checked and like back-checked and just really manhandled, and he could have turned around and easily just done something real terrible to really retaliatory, and it would have gotten him a penalty. But he did good. He controlled himself, and the guy got a 2-minute penalty, and the Sharks went on a fruitless power play. But hey, I'm really proud of the kid for being more disciplined and still keeping an element of grit on the roster. So that's my one good thing. Secondly, Joe Thornton is a classic bird out there on the ice, and that ice sheet is his open sky. And anytime you get to watch Joe skate and move and maneuver, because the Canadians give him so much time and space to maneuver and fly, it's a wonderful thing to watch. So thanks, Montreal, for some reason giving Joe Thornton a lot of room to skate. The third bright star in this is that Carey Price, as good as he may be, is not as good as Team Teal.
Yes, we can Cam Ward this piece. You can't Carey Price this piece. Jerkman, what? I mean, there's not a whole lot to find bad aside from all the
Oh,
power plays and everything.
you can't give me a second to take a gander
Hold
at
my
this.
beard.
Excuse me while I whip this out.
Right? Okay, let's see. Here's the thing, is you're right. There, I would say probably 98.12% of things in this game went right for the Sharks. And
fun fact, everybody, 98.12, the number of goals that Mikkel Bakker will score this season.
true facts. You know, it was a good game all around. I thought Martin Jones was dialed in from the beginning and, you know, only let in two goals, which is a nice kind of average goals per game to have yourself around.
That like Shea Weber slap shot, I can't fault Jones for that.
That was beautiful. It was a beautiful slap shot. But, you know, Jones looked dialed in. The big guns were the big guns. You know, we saw Couture. Man, Couture, it was funny. I looked at the stats today, and I was like, oh, Couture has 5 points in five games. He's doing pretty well. And then I realized that four of them were in the game against Montreal. So kind of inflates that a little bit. But at the same time, you know, we're starting to see a more balanced, you know, kind of stat distribution, if you will. And I mean, anybody here, raise your hands if you thought Kevin LeBanc would be tied for the team lead in points at this point. Anybody? Didn't think so.
Well, I mean, yeah, but we weren't sure what line he was going to be starting on and where he was going to finish after five games.
That's also a very good point. But yeah, I thought this game was top to bottom. I thought it was a good effort. I really liked how Joe Thornton got the puck going towards the empty net. And if you look at the camera angle that's pointed behind him, Couture is pretty much on his knees, like, just, okay, Jumbo, just score. And then Jumbo spins off and looks back at Couture, and Couture's like, oh, crap, he's looking for me. I got to shoot up and get over there. But then Jumbo is like, no, it's okay, I got it, and just hit right into the back of the net. So good effort top to bottom. I hope to see that continue on this road trip because, you know, the Sharks like to make road ice advantage their bread and butter. So let's see if that trend continues.
Hey, and shout out to Joakim Ryan and Tim Heed for looking great in the lineup.
Hey, now. And it's funny you bring up that thing about it, you know, inflating the numbers with five and five, and then, oh, four was in one of the, because it just reminds everyone that talking about how are they going to replace Marlowe's 27 goals last season? And a lot of people forget to put a little asterisk on that says, yeah, four of those came against one game in Colorado. So we move on to Shark Bites. And just a couple quick hits here. I don't want to dive into this too heavy, but we've seen the Sharks now play five home games. And there's been a lot of talk on social media, people pointing out that, boy, there's a good amount of empty seats in the tank right now. I don't know how much of that has to do with the shiny new BMW lounge, something that we can look for over the course of the season and see if it starts to fill in. And obviously, everybody loves a winner. So if the Sharks maybe come back 4-1 after this road trip and start making their way up the standings, perhaps you might see some more butts in the seats. The other thing that I thought was kind of a bummer, and this is just a personal preference of mine, but for the first time in I don't even know how long I can remember, there was no opening night giveaway, there was no on-ice projection for the opening night, no LED wristbands like they had come to get all the fans accustomed to. So just another point where I wonder why that happened, although there was a street rally before it. And I mean, anything from you guys that you've noticed over these first five games aside from, and this is probably something we should wrap around, the line blender in full effect, and for all the talk, Rocket, that the Sharks have said since Hurdle was drafted, it was always about he's the future center, future center, future center, and not even like two games into this season, he's already back to wing. And remember, this is the second year of his two-year bridge deal.
I don't find this surprising because if you look at how this team was managed, how this team was staffed with coaches, et cetera, versus how it is now, it's night and day. So for them to want to keep projecting him along a path when the rest of the program has taken a corrective course just seems counterintuitive. And if he fits in better like this, then so be it. Brent Burns is not ever going to be a forward again.
What?
You're telling me you don't want to pay a guy $8 million a year to play 17 minutes a night?
Are you telling me you don't want a guy who just won the trophy for best defenseman in the league is not going to be a forward again? What?
I don't know. I think you give him maybe a season in the AHL and he'll come back and win the Vezina.
jerk, anything from you, good sir?
I think the attendance has a lot to do with, you know, I mean, there's a multitude of things you could attribute it to. The, you know, the early playoff exit last year, you know, the string of teams that the Sharks have started their season on aren't really the sexiest of teams, save for the LA Kings. And I mean, the start, you know, the
Philly's not bad.
They're not bad, but I mean, just they're not a, you know, they're not a team that the Sharks have a whole lot of hatred with. I mean, if you ask me, and again, I'm not an NHL schedule maker. I just critique them.
I hate Philly.
I just think that your first game of the season, especially if you're trying to get fan interest after a long summer, is to play a rival. Like, I mean, maybe, you know, maybe it didn't work out with arena availability. Who knows? But I think playing the LA Kings first would have been a better decision. But again, I don't know. That's not my job. But I just think, if the Sharks can continue to have efforts like they had against Montreal, and if they can just be a good team in general throughout the next, I would say, 2 months, I would hope anyways that fan interest would come back. And quick little plug, if you happen to catch AJ's interview with Mr. Flavel, he said that there would be some very interesting little knickknacks for the fans, so that's something you might want to check out.
That's right, Flavel, Flav.
Hey, I got a quick suggestion here. So, what if the best way to start the season were to have the two teams that last met? Oh, I don't know if that would work out or not. So, like, say the first Predators game this year would have been against the Pittsburgh Penguins because they were the ones that eliminated them. So what if your first team in the season was the season that or was the team that eliminated you and then you went back to the regular schedule? How do you think that would be for fan service?
I think it would be it all depends on fans of one team versus fans of the league as a whole, because I know the KHL every year, their very first game of the season, which is televised in all of their TV markets, is the league champion versus the of the President's Trophy, essentially. So it's like the best in the regular season versus the best in the playoffs, and that's like always the first game of the. It's always the first game of the season. It's on every TV market in their league. It's totally hyped up as like the kickoff to the next season.
That's actually I'm really surprised that I'm saying this about anything remotely associated with the KHL, but that's really intuitive.
No, I would definitely agree with that. Is something that the NHL could maybe take a page out of the NFL playbook, because that is something that football tends to do, is they have their big opener where it's just that one game for that night, and it usually features something that had to do with the last playoff season, whether it features the two teams that played in the previous Super Bowl or some big playoff matchup that occurred. I think that is a great idea. And I mean, come on, NHL, we're doing this for free right now. Like, put it on a Tuesday night, you know, the Tuesday night opener, and then you can have everybody play on Wednesday or whatever, but figure out a way to put a big opening night together that doesn't conflict against Thursday night football or Monday night football or something else.
If we look at the stats from last season, that opening night game for this year would have been Pittsburgh versus Washington, which means would have been on NBC. AJ's favorite play-by-play guy, Doc Emmerich, would have had the call. Would have been a hell of a time.
Mm. God, I hate that guy. Why did it have to hit Ezo and not Doc Emmerich?
Wow.
Oh, did I? Oh, I what? Didn't realize my mic was open. Sorry. and just a couple other things, just to add note before we close this. Shark Bites, Rocket's favorite burrito eater, on the IR. So giving some time to Tim Heed, who needs a little bit more seasoning, but I've liked what I've seen so far. He definitely is going to have to learn quickly. And we also have Joel Ward still dealing with off-season surgery. He's been scratched the last three games, correct?
Do we think that's what it is, that he's hurt and not just benched for being bad?
Pete is not a fan of the kids unless he has to be a fan of the kids.
I don't know. I mean, LeBanc has looked good, and same with Timo.
That's true, but what if he's like, this is where I draw the line, Doug. This is where I draw the line.
Good, and bro. That's where I draw the line. Who's
that guy who Doug had to get rid of? Gosh, I can't remember.
Adam Burrish.
Adam Burrish. He had to like get rid of him to keep Todd from playing him. I remember that. Yeah, that's like the same thing.
Yeah, I remember waking up that morning and seeing on Twitter, Adam Burrish on waivers, and I remember being like, thank God.
Yeah, that happened in my hockey history. I would have been like infancy before I could even walk. I was still sucking on my toes as a hockey fan when that happened. So I was barely aware of any of like the connotations or the context of why it was happening or who or what and what waivers were.
Just to let you know, listening audience, we will be introducing that segment later this season, Toe Sucking with Rocket Backhander. So now we move on.
Oh my God.
Time for the three stars of the week, or what we call.
Oh, good for you!
Mr. Jerk, your third star for these first five games.
My third star for these first five games is Logan Couture. And I mean, if you really break it down game by game, he only had two games where he factored into the score sheet in a positive way. But again, you know, Logan Couture is a guy that the Sharks essentially need to be the best player on a nightly basis. And if, when you look at the stats and see overall that he's got 5 points in five games, no matter how you spread it out, that's a good start to the season. And I'm really hoping that this is the year where he can break 70, because if he can, it's going to mean a lot of good things for the team.
My third star of the week, Kevin LeBanc. There's not a lot of guys who can not only net two goals, but then put his butt in the box three times and get scored on all three times. So if that isn't a record, it should be almost the Kevin LeBanc hat trick. You've heard of the Gordie Howe, that might be the Kevin LeBanc hat trick. Rocket, your third.
Oh, I hate to be a copycat here, but I'm going to mirror AJ's third choice in Kevin LeBanc. The kid had some big shoes to fill on that first line, and nobody really knew how he would fill in. And I think he's gone above and beyond to be a dynamic force out there on the ice. He still needs to dial it in, so he's more of a force for good and not so much a force for evil. But I think he's going to be a good fit. So here's hoping.
Second star. And my second star is a twofer, so they each get half a star, I guess, or their own star. So it's, I don't know. I haven't done the math. Heed and Ryan, both those guys are getting they're splitting up my second star. The guys are coming in. They're trying to make a difference. They're being given the opportunity with, of course, Martin being on the IR and DeMello being scratched recently. So do the most with what you got, with the opportunity you've given. So, Tim Heed, Yoki Ryan, you get my second star. Rocket, your second.
My second star is Martin effing Jones. Yes, because he's still our goalie, and I want to give him some tendy love.
What?
So,
He's still the goalie? What?
No, we're going to go get Antoniemi. Sorry.
No.
So I'm gonna go jump off a bridge right now. I can't believe I just said that. Bye.
I was gonna say we had to endure 5 years of that guy.
Sorry, I'm just thinking about other people's problems now.
I know. Jerk, your second.
My second star is, it's gonna be Tomáš Hertl, because I think long term, I still think he is a center when you consider that he's the most physical of the three centers we currently have, being him, Thornton, and Couture. He's the best face-off guy between the three. But at the same time, I don't want to say he's been bad, but he's just been there. And, you know, since he got put on the wing, he's at times been the best player, and he's, you know, showed his offensive prowess. He showed his physicality, and he's, as we all expected, he's flourished as a winger. So he gets my second star for doing good things.
Just keep those knees solid, buddy. Number one star, Rocket.
My number one star is going to go to Mr. Timo Meier. I'm not going to be on, like, you know, the Timo train, choo-choo. But I'm really surprised that this kid didn't just decide to be dirty and nasty and retaliatory I'm glad that we got him. And also, I want to say, like, I want an honorable mention, whoever it is that, whoever the pit, what'd you say, Jerk? The fourth round pick that we get in trade for Dylan DeMello.
Yes, the fourth round pick that we get for DeMello in February. Yeah.
Shout out to that guy.
Oh, man. Yeah, I like that pick. Timo Meier, is it just me, or is he kind of becoming like Ryan Clough 2.0?
I was going to say the exact same thing.
Okay.
All right, I'm cool with that.
I know.
With more offensive upside, if I might add.
Well, I mean, you know, it's not everybody that actually can play the puck from the bench. Hockey Jerk, you're first.
Well, playing the puck from the bench, it takes a lot of skill. You know, I mean, those, if you've ever been on an NHL bench, they're tight. Not a whole lot of room to maneuver. My first star, I was going to say Kevin LeBanc for all of the obvious reasons, but I'm going to go with Joakim Ryan because, you know, Paul Martin, say what you want. He's old, he's slow, whatever. You know, he's still a crucial part.
I don't disagree with any of that.
He's still a crucial part to the team, no matter what way you slice it. And, you know, when he was thrown on the IR, I got a little nervous because I know, you know, Tim Heed is obviously still a little green. And, you know, DeMello and Dylan have been kind of iffy so far to start. But here comes Joakim Ryan. They play his theme song and he jumps right into the top four. And he's flourished. He's making Dylan DeMello sweat a little bit, and he's giving, you know, the Sharks some things to consider, like I said, at the trade deadline in February and going forward. And I just think it's kind of fascinating for all the years that the Sharks had the worst defensive prospect pool in the league. They're now, in my estimate, top 10. So I just think it's fun how things change like that.
It's so strange that we weirdly have Roy Sommer to thank for that.
I'm digging Yoki so far too, and you know, not everybody can be the Wookiee Whisperer, but he's stepping in and he's making the most of the opportunity, as I said earlier. So,
and shout out too to Teal Town After Dark's own Kevin Lacey for 2 years ago calling Joakim Ryan Small Martin. So, if you need any ideas for lottery tickets, he is at Kevin Lacey 22.
And the other thing about Ryan, he certainly has a fan base. I don't know if you've been looking at the Sharks social media and Instagram and whatnot, but there's this small group of fans that are just showing up to every game with huge signs. We love 47. We love Ryan. So that's,
I think it's great.
Fan base, yeah.
I think it's great. He, for those who watch the Barracuda, know he's like, he is their glue on that defense. Like Tim Heed, you know, Tim Heed, primary assists must be always, but Joakim Ryan is, if he was in the AHL right now, he would be wearing an alternate A on his sweater. That's how important he is.
Some days you're the horse, some days you're the glue. My number one star, of course, goes to the one and only Rocket Backhander for making the cross-country move, yet still being ready, willing, and able to go for this season of the Pucknologist.
Thank you.
Keep your acceptance speech down to 12 seconds.
Yeah, player off. So with that, you know, there's a couple stories that we can just bounce into real quick here. I don't want to go absolutely nuts. I wanted to try to make this relatively short, sweet, painless, but
keep it nice and tight.
Hey now, you know what time it is.
No? What the hell is that?
I like that better. I'm sorry. I like it better. I like
I'm
it better.
I'm all right with that. I'm so okay with that.
I'm
okay. Here we go. Round the horn, babies. So just a couple quick notes that I'll throw in, and then you guys jump in with yours, what you've seen over the first 2 weeks of hockey season here. Things I noticed that I just got a kick out of, hat tricks all over the place within the first couple of days. You saw Wayne Simmons, Connor McDavid, Brandon Neil Beforsad, and Ovechkin getting back-to-back hat tricks. So I don't know that seen the NHL just have a couple of days where it was just hat trick, hat trick, hat trick, hat trick. the Blackhawks routing the Penguins 10-1. I mean, just what an amazing game. Niemi chased after 4 on 13 shots, and Murray comes in and says, "Hold my beer, Nemo." I mean, just what an amazing game that was. Look that up on YouTube, kids. It's fun. Jaromir Jagr makes his return with the Flames. If you've seen him, let me know, because I have not really seen him yet, even though I've watched a couple of the games. And you would think you'd be able to see that hair. And then, of course, we'd be remiss not to mention the Las Vegas home opener versus the Coyotes, just tugging at the heartstrings. And it worked out really well for the Vegas Golden Knights. They chased Ronta after he let in 3 goals on 5 shots in the first 6 minutes of the game. But the bad thing that I have to mention about the Vegas Golden Knights, if you've seen their mascot, Ofa.
Seen nightmares.
Yeah, what has seen cannot be unseen. I don't know.
I don't mind Chance so much. He's a Gila monster. He's not supposed to be a Gila teddy bear. You know, he's not a Gila David Hasselhoff.
No, he looks like Barney fell in love with a gecko.
No, he looks like the bastard love child between Barney and the Thing from Fantastic Four after like some, you know, 3-day meth riddled bender in Vegas.
No, he looks like a Gila monster that was born in captivity and purchased by Siegfried and Roy.
I go to Deadpool and it's like, you look like an avocado had a angry sex with an uglier, older avocado. That's what it was, just, oh, man.
But then cover it in glitter, sparkles, and sing Viva Las Vegas at it, and there you go. Like, yeah, I love it. Welcome, Chance. You're the best. Well, you're one of 31 of the best.
I don't know. Just invalidates all the good tweets they've had in my mind. But with that, we move on. Predictions and previews. So, Sharks, as we stated earlier, going out on a 5-game roadie, starting with at New Jersey, at the Islanders, and at the Rangers. And let me just say at the top of this, NHL schedule makers, you got one right for the Sharks, finally, for once, where the Sharks go back east and actually stay within like the same kind of metro area where it's New Jersey, New York, New York, Boston, New York. Like, well done, guys. Like, keep it like that. None of this crap that we saw before. It was Carolina, then Chicago, then Tampa, then Montreal, you know, and then Colorado on the way home. So, at Devils, at Islanders, at Rangers, and I'm going to say, just throw it out there, that the Sharks go 2-1. They're going to get victories over the Devils and the Rangers, but they're going to lose to the Islanders because, you know, that's so Sharks. Rocket, your call.
Hey, I think that they're going to lose against the Devils, but they're going to win against the Islanders and the Rangers.
I'm also going to say 2-1. I think they're going to lose to the Devils because the Devils are leading their division currently. I think they're going to lose to the Islanders in the shootout because that's what I said for the previous Islanders game, and it almost happened. And against the Rangers, I think they're going to win 4-0 because the Rangers are bad and they should feel bad this season.
What is it about? There's something in the water in New York. Just everybody's doing bad. Or I guess everybody's just paying attention to the Yankees. Who knows what it is? So, Jerk, where can the people find you on the social media platforms?
On the social media platforms, you can find me on Twitter at @hockey_jerk. You cannot find me on Instagram, Snapchat, Tinder, Facebook, or WikiLeaks.
But if you look real hard, you can find him on farmersonly.com.
Well, I thought I privatized that account. But anyways, for those who have listened on a regular basis, you know what I do. I like to talk crap. I like to make fun of people, but I also like to provide my opinion on things. And if you're a fan of me being, you know, to certain cultures, I tweeted in French all day on the day of the Montreal Canadiens game, and it was very awful. So if that's your thing, check it out.
Rocket, what's your story?
Once upon a time, in a land far away called Manteca. No, not that story. Okay, so my name is Rocket Backhander, and you can find me on Twitter at @RBackhander76. You can also find me on Instagram taking photographs of my life here in Nashville. Same thing, RBackhander7. No, it's just one word, Rocket Backhander, I think. I can't remember. something. Anyway, I'm around. If you want to tweet at me, tweet at me. If you want to look at my pictures, look at my pictures. Don't slide into my DMs, bruh.
And I am AJ_Strong on Twitter, on Instagram, and also helping things along at Pucknologists and at Tealtown USA on the Instagram. So check out all of those things. Thanks for tuning in to another podcast here on Tealtown USA. You can subscribe to us on SoundCloud, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn, whichever one works for you best. Just do us a favor, man. Give us a follow. Give us a thumbs up. Do something like that. Hit us up on Twitter, at Pucknologist. And, you know, first show of the season, so we're still working out the kinks. We will get better. I swear to God, it feels like we did a year of this last year, so I think we can pull this off. So,
thanks for tuning in. It's still too early to tell.
Yeah, too early to tell.
Small sample size.
Yeah, small sample size. We might have to hire somebody, you know, a fourth party to be the eye in the sky for this podcast. Let us know what's going on. So, thanks for tuning in, guys. And we will catch you all next week for another episode of the Pucknologist on Tealtown USA.